Yes, you know the mitzvah, such as Neres Chanukah, that we find such an attention to the area of Hidur mitzvah, such an extent that the Gemara tells us that the Ikar mitzvah of Neres Chanukah, one can really fulfill in a very, very simple way. Neri Shabesa, one candle for each night of Hanukkah, the entire family, and yet we don't know anybody fulfilled the mitzvah this way. Every person, even people, not so much, not a mitzvah. But when it comes to Neres Chanukah, everybody becomes not only a Mahadrin, everyone becomes a Mahadrin, and a Mahadrin, with all the Hidurim, all the beautiful way of fulfilling the mitzvah. So I thought we would just speak a little bit about the notion of Hidur mitzvah in general, and in particular how it plays out in the specifics concerning Neres Chanukah. So there is a shayla that is raised by the Shaila of Tshuva Shvus Yaakov, following shayla. No shayla. Person is getting up to set in his menorah, and he's looking around for oil. He can't seem to find any oil. Sounds like a familiar story. He can't find any oil. So he starts, okay, can't find the oil, no problem. He starts to set up candles. He's got his menorah all set up, he's got all his candles in place, he's lit his match ready, he's ready to make the brachas. And all of a sudden, somebody comes in and says, I found a jar of oil, found the pach shemen. So the pach shemen is shemen zayis, and the Gemara tells us that l'chatchila, one is supposed to provide olive oil. So now the shayla becomes, what should he do at this point? So should he take apart his menorah, take out the candles, and set up the oil to fulfill the din of Hidur mitzvah? Or should we say no? Should we say that once he's already has the candles set up, so we should already use the candles? We have a rule that ein mavir al mitzvah. That once you're ready to begin to do one mitzvah, you already start to do a chatzah mitzvah, so you're not supposed to put it down. It's a bizei mitzvah to put it down and go find something else. So the rule of ein mavir al mitzvah would take over here. So this is the shout that the Shvus Yaakov raises, that we have the two contradictory klolim in terms of kedivus mitzvahs. But on the one hand, we have a rule of ein mavir al mitzvahs. Once you're in the process of starting to do a mitzvah with a particular item, you're supposed to finish it. On the other hand, we have a cloud called Hidur mitzvah. So which one takes precedence? Let's tell us, is Eim Avir al mitzvah more important than Hidur mitzvah, or is Hidur mitzvah more important than Eim Avir al mitzvah? Now the truth is, the way the scenario that I set it up, that it's candles versus the olive oil, may not be a perfect application of this principle. Because it could be that when a person lights candles, it's just as much of a hiddur as olive oil. Why is olive oil such a hiddur? What does the Gemara say in Shabbos? That there's a mitzvah l'chatchila, a mitzvah l'mucha b'shem b'zayis. So the Gemara says, because the olive oil burns clearer. So yeah, in the second breath of Shabbos, where the Gemara speaks about all some of the oils that flicker, the oils don't burn so well. So olive oil is beautiful. Olive oil burns nicer than all the other oils. So the Ramah writes that the medra b'morim, that olive oil takes precedence. That's if it's olive oil versus other kinds of cheapy kinds of oils that don't burn so clear. It says there are more. What if you have a candle? We have wax candles. It says there are more. They burn beautiful. The flame is just as nice, just as clear, just as strong as olive oil. So the Ramah says he's not so convinced that there should be any hiddur of using shemen zayis at all for zman hazeh. So it could be that it's even l'chatchila for persons like regular candles. So later poskim add on another dimension that doesn't say in the Gemara. Later poskim say, no, there's inyan l'chatchila. It's olive oil, dechodeis. The nace and the menorah, of course, was the shemen zayis. So we want to replicate the nace and the menorah as much as possible. It's a greater commemoration of the miracle. But that's already a later in. So that fact is thrown into the Echorot much, much later. Begin of the Gemara, that idea doesn't appear. Begin of the Gemara, it would appear that the only reason to prefer olive oil over other flames and other oils, other candles, is only because it burns better. And if you have an equally valid type of a flame, so then maybe the whole hiddur wouldn't apply. But we're going to put that on the back burner for now. We're going to assume that there is some kind of a hiddur of shemen zayis. If you have shemen zayis versus shvacha candles, what's the din? So comes to Shvus Yaakov, and he concludes that what's more important is the principle of ein mavir al mitzvahs. You're not allowed to pass on the mitzvahs. Once you pick up something to begin to do a mitzvah with a certain item, so you have to do a mitzvah that way. Marshal of the Vidoma, the Gemara says, in Maseches Yuma, a very practical application of ein mavir al mitzvahs, the Gemara says that if a person is putting on thousands full in the morning, so you have to make sure that you whatever you want to put on first, that's when you should pump it the first. Because if you grab one before the other, so then you're going to be forced to do it that way, because of the principle of Ein Mavir al Mitzvahs. So the Gemara itself doesn't talk about the Talmud and Tefillin, Marshal. The Shulchan Aruch quotes it from the paraphrase in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about the Tefillin Shayyad and Tefillin Shayrosh. The Gemara says that since the din is you have to put Tefillin Shayyad on first, because the Torah says, Ukshach Merosu Yadecha, therefore you better make sure to put your Tefillin in such a way that you know which is going to be taken out first. Because if you take out the Shayrosh first, then you're going to be forced to put it down, because Ukshach Merosu Yadecha forces you to put the Shayyad on first.
On the other hand, you're not going to be in violation of Eimer Zeir on Mitzvah. So you have to be careful. You shall Yadash Arosh, to the Shulchan Aruch extent, you have to be careful with the Talos and Tzolot. You have to always be careful not to violate the principle called Eimer Zeir on Mitzvah. So that's the case, as the Shuz Yaakov, Eimer Zeir on Mitzvah is an important principle, and overrides even the principle of Hidur Mitzvah. So according to the Pesach of the Shuz Yaakov, you set up your wax candles already, even though they're not such good candles, doesn't matter, light them first. Comes the Chacham Tzvi in a tshuva, and he quotes the Shuz Yaakov. He says it's not true. He says it's against the Beferish Gemara. It's Beferish Gemara, not about Neir Chanukah. It's Beferish Gemara in Maseches Menachos about the offering of a carbon in the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara says, let's say you have on Shabbos. So sometimes you bring carbonos on Shabbos, which are Dukkah Shabbos, private carbonos are not Dukkah Shabbos, but the public carbonos, the carbonos Tzibur, carbon Talmud, Muslim, etc., are Dukkah Shabbos. The Gemara describes the following scenario. Let's say you have a korban that you're allowed to bring, supposed to bring on Shabbos, and you shechted the korban already, but the animal that you shechted wasn't such a nice korban, wasn't such a pretty korban, wasn't so nice. It wasn't so nice. But you haven't yet done the Zrikas Adam. You haven't done the Zrikas Adam. You haven't technically been Yotzei Mitzvah yet. You went ahead and you shechted the animal. It was a weak, a shvach animal, and you haven't really completed the mitzvah yet. And all of a sudden, somebody comes running into the Mason Mikdash and says, "Oh, we found a beautiful animal. So why don't you go ahead and shech the beautiful animal instead?" So the Gemara says it depends. If you're ready to drink a Saddam on the first animal, the mitzvah is over, finished. And what kind of hit the mitzvah? What are you going to accomplish by bringing a second animal? You're ready to the mitzvah. But if you haven't yet done drink a Saddam, so you haven't technically finished the mitzvah yet, so the Gemara says then the correct thing to do was to bring the nicer korban. So it comes to the Chatzin and says, what? How can you bring the nicer carbon? But you already shechted the first carbon. You already started to deal with the first carbon. And the first carbon, you were technically yaitin, but the evidence was okay. So what right do you have to shech the second carbon? Forget about the Chilul Shabbos, as I mentioned. Here's the Chacham Tzvi, what happened to Eimer Zeir al Mitzvahs. Once you started to deal with one mitzvah, so you have to finish that mitzvah. You're not allowed to change cheftas in the middle and go up for another object. As the Chacham Tzvi, unless you see from this Gemara that if the second object is prettier than the first object, if the second animal is nicer than the first animal, so then the rules of Hidden Mitzvah kick in. And the rules of Hidden Mitzvah not only permit you to override Eimer Zeir Mitzvahs, they require you to override Eimer Zeir Mitzvahs. So even though you've already been Isaac in the first carbon, you shechted already, it's sitting there, and it would be a tremendous desire just to take that, discard it, and go out for a second carbon. Doesn't matter. Eimer Zeir Mitzvahs loses out to Hidden Mitzvah. So says the Chacham Tzvi, you see from the Ferish Gemara. To me, you know the Gemara is in the Sefer Menachos. It says the Chacham Tzvi is a famous Gemara, black and white, that the Shuz Yaakov is not correct. That the Shuz Yaakov said when there's a question of a hierarchy of Eimer Zeir Mitzvahs versus Hidur Mitzvah, Eimer Zeir Mitzvahs wins out. And therefore, if you set up your candles in your menorah, you have to light them, even though somebody brings in at the last minute olive oil, because Eimer Zeir Mitzvah is more important than Hidur Mitzvah. Says the Chacham Tzvi is finished, not true. The Gemara is black and white, and the Rebbe of Karbanos. So the mitzvah of Hidur Mitzvah, the concept of Hidur Mitzvah is more important than Eimer Zeir Mitzvahs. So how do we defend Yisidni the Shuz Yaakov? It's not just a black and white Gemara. So the Chara, in order to understand what the Nekudas and Machlokes between these Gedolei Acharonim is, we have to take a step back and understand a little bit about Hidur Mitzvah in the first place. There is a principle, of course, we know Hidur Mitzvah is a Kelim Yadveyu, that this is the din that's true by all mitzvahs, the notion of the Hidur Mitzvah. One could raise the following question, the following basic hakira, as to what's the nature of Hidur Mitzvah. What's it all about? The Torah says that we spell the fundamental mitzvah, supposed to do mitzvahs in a beautiful way. So one could suggest the following. Is Hidur Mitzvah a kiyum b'fnei atzmo? Hidur Mitzvah means it's a separate and distinct kiyum. In addition to the mitzvah proper, there's also what we call a din klali. There's a general, all-encompassing halacha. We're supposed to do mitzvahs in a nice way. Do we mitzvahs in a nice way? Beautifies the mitzvah, shows us rizos, shows the habas of mitzvahs. It's beautiful, it's wonderful. But it's not a kiyum in the mitzvah proper. Let's say we have two people putting on tefillin. One's putting on a pair of tefillin that's beautiful, and one's putting on a pair of tefillin not so beautiful. They're both kosher. Mice are both kosher. But one is mehudah, one is not so mehudah. So can we suggest as follows? In terms of the mitzvah tefillin, so each one is doing the same mitzvah. I'm fulfilling mishat and asei adecha. And you're fulfilling mishat and asei adecha. There's no difference within the mitzvah proper. Right, so why am I spending the extra money on hidden mitzvah? I'm fulfilling a separate mitzvah. The separate mitzvah is called Zekeli Yerveyu. The fact that I'm being Mahadir Acha Mitzvahs, that is a separate key. That's a mitzvah of Avos Hashem. That's a mitzvah of Chaviv Fasa Mitzvah. That's a mitzvah of Kavanah Mitzvah. You want to call it whatever you want to call it. Zekeli Yerveyu. But in terms of the mitzvah proper of tefillin, it's the same kima mitzvah, the exact same kima mitzvah, whether I'm wearing a nice tefillin or whether I'm wearing not such nice tefillin. That's one way of understanding that. Din b'fnei asmo is a separate, distinct kiyum. Or maybe no. Maybe one can argue that the din of the mitzvah becomes incorporated into the mitzvah proper. It's a different mitzvah. The mitzvah putting on a beautiful pair of tefillin is not the same mitzvah wearing a not such nice pair of tefillin. It's a greater kiyum of shatul seyadecha. It's a greater kiyum within the mitzvah proper. It's not a tangential kiyum, not a separate distinct kiyum, but it becomes incorporated into the mitzvah itself. Very longish shayla, very academic shayla. Might not have to do it anyway. The kelim that requires me anyway to go the extra mile to do a hidden mitzvah. Manaf Kamina, Zekelim and Veyu, is a din which is chutz la mitzvah, which is tangential to the mitzvah, or whether it's something which is within the mitzvah proper. So, in addition to this question, this theoretical, academic question, what is to raise another question concerning the klal of hidden mitzvah? So we know there's a din of hidden mitzvah, Zekelim and Veyu. The fund of all mitzvahs, especially Gwemeth of Shabbos, it's not the fund of the mitzvahs, I say Sukkot, Yom Tov, I say Torah, Yom Tov, Tzon, Yom Tov, Tzitzia, everything's got to be nice, beautiful, Zekeh, Yom Tov. All of a sudden, in the realm of Karbanos, we find that there's a special pasuk that says you have to bring the nicest of your Karbanos. Mivcha Nidrechem. You have to bring the most beautiful choice of all your Karbanos, Mivcha Nidrechem. So come to Chorem and ask the question, Kash, Chumash, why does the Torah have to spell out Mivcha Nidrechem? Why does the Torah have to go out of its way to say you have to bring beautiful Karbanos? I couldn't have figured it out on my own. I couldn't have figured it out that you have to bring a beautiful carbon. Why is a carbon any less than a sukkah, than a tzitzis, than a sefer Torah? That the din is that all mitzvahs warrant, all mitzvahs require hidden mitzvah. Ma'ash minin, what's the chiddush that the Torah singles out carbonus and says, you have to be a beautiful, beautiful choice carbonus. What's the chiddush of carbonus? So comes Rav Zolti, sefer Mishnas Yavetz, and he says, Kusha achas b'tiretzis b'chavetz. He says, we have a question, we raise a lomdus of hakira. What's the essence, what's the nature of hidden mitzvah? Is hidden mitzvah something which is external? Is hidden mitzvah something which is internal? And then we ask the question, my shmina, my iria karbanos, paper plane, that all mitzvahs have to be beautiful. Says the Mishas Yaveh, the answer is as follows, that the correct answer to the first question, the first side of the hakira is that hidden mitzvah is not a din in the mitzvah proper. Hidden mitzvah is a tangential key. Hidden mitzvah is something which is menachot. It's a nice thing to do. Did I fulfill tefillin? I fulfilled tefillin b'shlemusa. There's nothing wrong with my tefillin. There's no difference between the person who's got the beautiful tefillin and the person who has the shvachat tefillin. It's the same mitzvah as another tefillin. Elohim, the person who put on the nice tefillin, was yotzei an additional key of zekeh and veyu. So says of Shalti, in all areas of halacha, that's the answer. But this is where Karbanos parts ways from other mitzvahs. Karbanos, the Torah's mechadish to us, the chomivcha nidreichem, the Torah's mechadish to us, there's a notion of hidden mitzvah that goes above and beyond regular hidden mitzvah. What is it? What's the essence of the chiddush Torah of hidden mitzvah by Karbanos? Says Rav Zolti, the chiddush is that whereas in other mitzvahs it's a din menachut, in Karbanos it's a din b'fnim. In Karbanos it's part and parcel of the mitzvah itself. When I bring a nice carbon, I bring a shvaka carbon, so that's a different color shape, it's a different kiyum of a korbanos and karbanos. It's not a tzchiyum menachut, it's not an external mitzvah, but it's the mitzvah proper. Doing a mitzvah of the hidura is considered to be part and parcel of the mitzvah itself. Says Rav Zolti, I'll bring you a proof, a raya brush, and a tshuva, that at least in the realm of Karbanos, there is a notion that hidden mitzvah is part of the mitzvah itself. The Gemara that we quoted just a moment ago from Menachah says that if you brought a carbon on Shabbos, the carbon tzibu was brought on Shabbos, and it wasn't so nice, and now you have the ability to bring a nicer carbon before you were yet to the first carbon, because Adam didn't take place yet, so now you have the ability to bring a nicer carbon on Shabbos itself, so the Gemara says you're allowed to do that. Why are you what's the matter to Chil Shabbos? The din is that a korban is Decha Shabbos, the korban tamid is Decha Shabbos, the korban musaf is Decha Shabbos. But why am I doing the second shechita for? What am I trying to accomplish with the second shechita? So if you're going to tell me that I was already yoked that the first korban was already the same as the second korban in terms of Vikos Karbanos, it's just for a mitzvah of Zekeli Ben Deyu, Yes, or Jolti, where do we find the Zekelim and Deu as Decha Shabbos? Mecha Teisi, you'll have to be Decha Shabbos in order to fulfill Zekelim and Deu. The only thing that's Decha Shabbos is the mitzvah that Korbis a Korbin. But I shechted the Korbin already. What's the tzairach? Why the great necessity? What's the great need for me to shecht another carb? What am I trying to accomplish? Says Rajalti, no, based on what we're saying, I understand exactly what I'm trying to accomplish. The mitzvah that I did of a korb as a korban, I didn't finish it yet. If I finished it already, I did this rika, then there's nothing to discuss. So the korban is still totally unmade. I can either suffice myself with a week of shvacha korban, or I can go the extra mile and bring another korban. Now, if going the extra mile is going to entail another act of chilul Shabbos, that's okay, because that's an act of chilul Shabbos for the necessity of bringing a nicer korban. I bring a nicer korban as a kiyum in achutz. It's not true. In kabbalah, the kiyum is named in kabbalah. It's internal to the mitzvah proper. So minei obey from the fact that the Gemara permits you and requires you to be mechal Shabbos for the purpose of hidu mitzvah and kabbalah. That's the greatest proof that in the realm of kabbalah, at least, it's an internal kiyum. It's part of the mitzvah proper. Outside of kabbalah, it may very well be external, but within kabbalah, it's internal. Based on this chiluk that Rav Jolti and others are developing, that hidu mitzvah is not the same in all areas of halacha. There's hidu mitzvah out of kabbanis, then there's hidu mitzvah in the realm of kabbanis. One is the dim in achutz, one is the dim called dim klali, a general halacha, and the other is a localized dim prati, it's part of the mitzvah itself. This may be the beginning of the explanation of the machlokes between the Shvus Yaakov and the Chacham Tzvi. The Shvus Yaakov raised the question, what do you do when I have contradictory klolim pulling at me? On the one hand, Eim Avir al Mitzvah. I put the candles into the menorah, so Eim Avir al Mitzvah dictates I should light these candles. On the other hand, there's Hidu Mitzvah that's pulling in the other direction, and Hidu Mitzvah is saying, no, you got to take the candles out and put in the oil. What do you do? So the Shvus Yaakov said, it's a tie. We didn't know what to do. We threw our hands up and tell you, just shave your tassa. Let's light the candles the way they are. Don't take them out. We're not sure which is more important. And the Chacham Tzvi said, what are you talking about? We know which is more important. We have documented which klal is more important. So Chus Kabbalah dictates to us that the klal in the mitzvah is more important. All right, I think my menachas, you put away the korban that you already shechted, and you go and out for the nicer korban. So isn't the Shvus Yaakov against the Fereshin Gemara? So come the Achareim and say, no, not necessarily. Because maybe the shayla that the Shvus Yaakov and the Chacham Tzvi are debating is gufa going to depend on this understanding of what Hidu Mitzvah is all about. Even they tell me that Hidu Mitzvah is something which is tangential. Hidu Mitzvah is not a kiyum in the Mitzvah proper. So then I can understand why it should be a stalemate between that and Eim Avir Nal Mitzvahs. Eim Avir Nal Mitzvahs is also a din klali. Eim Avir Nal Mitzvahs is not a din in the Mitzvah proper. Eim Avir Nal Mitzvahs is a general rule about Kavod HaMitzvahs. It's pasnish, it's not for kovidik. You started to pick up one mitzvah, you're already holding on to your tefillin, you put it down a couple of katalas. It's not nice to the mitzvah. To be zoyed a mitzvah, aim of yom mitzvah. Does it mean that if a person does a mitzvah through the mechanism of aim of yom mitzvah, it's a less of a mitzvah? Can you imagine the person by mistake picked up his tefillin first? Right, so it says in Shulchan, put him on first, don't put him down. So no, the guy doesn't know that. He didn't follow what it says in Shulchan. He puts his tefillin back in the bag and he puts his tiles on now. So he just did a terrible avera called Eim Avir Nal Mitzvahs. So you can tell me that it's a lesser mitzvah tefillin now. That there's a pagam in the mitzvah tefillin when he puts his tefillin on 5 minutes later because he was ma'avir la mitzvah tefillin tzadas. I mean, that's a pagam in the mitzvah. Nothing's wrong with the mitzvah tefillin. The tefillin is the same. He did a mistake. He made a mistake. Okay, we over dramatize. We say it's a terrible mistake. Such a terrible mistake. He violated Eim Avir Nal Mitzvahs. He did something disrespectful to mitzvahs. But in terms of a less of a mitzvah, it's not any less of a mitzvah. So comes to Shvus Yaakov and says, we have two klolim that are pulling at us in terms of kavod mitzvah. On the one hand, Eim Avir Nal Mitzvahs. On the other hand, Hidu Mitzvah. Hidu Mitzvah says to Shvus Yaakov, it's also a kavod mitzvah. It's nice and do a mitzvah with oil that burns nicer than candles. So comes the Shvus Yaakov and says, I have two klolim which are pulling at me. One klol says, continue where you're up to light the candles, because Eim Avir Nal Mitzvah. I have another klal which says, no, put the candles down, put them out, take them out of the menorah, and go light, put the oil and light the oil. So I have two contradictory klalim which are pulling at me in two different directions. What do you do? Is there any significance of one over the other? Is one more important than the other? I don't know. I have no idea which is more important. So we have a klal in halacha. You know, it's called sheva tas adif. When you're not sure what to do, so just don't do anything. So here, for the person to go ahead and take the candles out and go put the oil in and go actively change what he's doing, so that's not right. That's a sheva tas. We don't know what to do. So according to Shvus Yaakov, the two klalim equal one another. They cancel each other out. There's there's a covenant mitzvah, hidden mitzvah, covenant mitzvah, every real mitzvah, just call it a stalemate, and just light the candles by Shehu Shom. So comes the Chacham Tzvi and says, no, it's not true. He says, this is not a two claws that are contradicting one another, which are on equal footing. One is a din which is chutz the mitzvah, one is a kiyum within the mitzvah itself. Which is the most significant claw? A claw that impacts on the etzem kiyum mitzvah, of course that's going to take precedence over a din claw, over the general covenant mitzvah type of claw. So says the Chacham Tzvi, I will prove to you from the Sugi Menachos, from the Chutz Karbonos, that the klal of hidden mitzvah is much more important than the klal of eim avir la mitzvahs. Eim avir la mitzvah is a din klali, it's an external halacha. Whereas hidden mitzvah is a kiyum in the mitzvah itself. It's not the same halacha as a menorah. If I light candles, if I light oil, the lighting of the oil is a better kiyum, it's a greater kiyum of halacha as a menorah. If I do eim avir la mitzvahs, big deal. That's something which is external, not part of the mitzvah itself. So the Chacham Tzvi brought a raya from Mikos Karbonas. And the fact that you can light the fact that you can bring the nicer korban at the expense of passing over the older, cheaper korban, you see from here that hidden mitzvah is more important. So what would the Shvus Yaakov respond to the Chacham Tzvi? So the Shvus Yaakov would respond, don't mix up karbanos. Don't bring me a ride from karbanos. Karbanos is true. Like karbanos, you're right. Maybe you're about to make this. We have the shot on karbanos, I'll agree to you. But we're not in karbanos. I'm standing at my windowsill trying to light my menorah. So says the Shvus Yaakov, Inuchos karbanos. So then you're right. That's the Chiddush HaTorah of Mivchan Edreichem. There is a kosuf. That there's a din of hidden mitzvah in karbanos above and beyond regularly the mitzvah, then yidacharai, then the nature, the lomdus of that din is, it's internal, it's a din prosi, it's part of the mitzvah proper, then it makes sense, it should be more important than eim avir la mitzvahs. But who's in the realm of karbanos? I'm writing there's chanak and dinet, what's up to do with karbanos? And therefore, we fall back to the regular rules of hidden mitzvah, argues the Shvus Yaakov, are this is a din klali, this is external, and this is external. Two externals cancel each other out, shivatas, just like the candles are already set up. So now to take one step further. So Ora, now the Shvus Yaakov has the upper hand. So you have back and forth. The Shvus Yaakov started, the Chacham Tzvi had a Gemara, then we defended the Shvus Yaakov, now the Chacham Tzvi has to defend himself. So Taka, according to the Chacham Tzvi, how can you extrapolate from Ukus Karbonos to Ukus Ne'er Chanukah? So aren't they so fundamentally different from one another? Not so fast, not so simple. One could suggest that Ne'er Chanukah is closer to Karbonos than it is to other mitzvahs. That there's a dimension in Eretz Chanukah of mikdash to it that elevates it to a different level of aloha, and even the nature of Hindu mitzvah in Eretz Chanukah is different. Wash it up yourself. Where do we have any raya? The nature of Eretz Chanukah is related to Karbonos, is related to mikdash. So there is a sugya in Masech Shabbos, the Chodesh, so the Gemara says, Otsa l'hartzos mos k'neged Eretz Chanukah. But it's not permitted to count their money by Neir Chanukah. You're not permitted to use Neir Chanukah for your personal needs. Why is a guy counting money all of a sudden when Neir Chanukah? They say in a joke, counting Neir Chanukah guilt. That's what the Gemara says. Also, that's not supposed to count it by the lies of Neir Chanukah. So the Balamor, and that Gemara says, that why did the Gemara give such an example? Also, the highest is most. Not allowed to count your money. Why did you say also the honest Neir Chanukah? You're not allowed to benefit from the Neir Chanukah. A modern example of counting your money. So says the Balamor, the Gemara was trying to highlight that not all benefits are prohibited. The only kind of benefits that you're not allowed to use are benefits such as counting your money, things which are not coveted, they're not respectful. And that's Chanukah, the Dvarim Shel Chol, the mundane, secular kinds of things. But Dvarim Shel Kedusha, let's say a person wants to learn by the name of Chanukah. So the Balamor says, great, wonderful. If you're a kid, you don't have another life, so you sit down and you learn. Your mom said, you want to learn by the name of Chanukah, fine, no problem. Says the Balamor, Dvarim Shel Mitzvah are permitted to be done by the name of Chanukah. Why is that? So clearly the Balamor understood, it's not that Ne'er Chanukah are also b'chanoah, not kutchen, not that Beis HaMikdash is not orla, not bas b'cholot, you know, over the Friday Shirman, it's not bas b'cholot, it's not isra hanoah. The nature is that it's a bizoid mitzvah, it's a disgrace to the mitzvah, then it depends. So some actions are disgraceful, other actions are not disgraceful. But the Balamor says, you can be yod, you can do tzrach mitzvah in the presence of the Ne'er Chanukah. So most of the Rishon disagree with the Balamor. Most of the Rishon say, well, it's not true. If that would be true, that you're allowed to do tzarech mitzvah by the light of the Ne'er Chanukah, then I wouldn't understand the Lady Gemara Masech Shabbos. The Gemara says, in the end of the Ne'er Chanukah sugya, the person doesn't have enough money for Ne'er Shabbos and for Ne'er Chanukah. So the Gemara says, they should use it for Ne'er Shabbos and forget about Ne'er Chanukah. Shalom Bayis is more important than Pirsum Anisa. I always tell off the story. It's in Yom HaTov today, the third day of Hanukkah. So we got married on the third night of Hanukkah. So remember, we were setting our wedding date. So I asked somebody, well, you know, sometimes people get married on Hanukkah, it inconveniences a lot of people. It's the light and this, and then people come home from work, it's a whole time around, people forget the light. I said, should we just push the wedding off for a couple of days and make it easier for everybody? We'll get married a week later. So he called me this Gemara. He said, nope. He said, the Gemara says that Shalom Bayis is more important than Eres Chanukah. So Kavah Chomer says, Mazach Shalom Bayis, to maintain a house is more important. He says, to build a house is even more important. So you get married a week earlier. So I can inconvenience people for Eres Chanukah. So they'll figure out an eighth to have a light in Eres Chanukah. That's what we did. So that's what we have our anniversary today. So at least I mentioned the way. Okay. We'll accept all the flowers here. Okay. Anyway, so getting back to this book. So the Rishonim asked, that half of the Gemara has a whole problem. What do you like? Do you spend a couple of pennies that you have for Neres Chanukah, for Neres Shabbos? Why don't you use both? Use them for both. Light the Shabbos candles and the Chanukah candles, all one set of candles, and sit down and eat your suda by the same light. And the Baal HaMor is right that you're allowed to be nene from Chanukah candles of Mocha Mitzvah, so eat your suda Shabbos by the Chanukah / Shabbos candles. So what do you see from here? No, you see from here that Chanukah candles are not permitted to be used even for Mocha Mitzvah. So now you're really in a pickle. You have to choose. If you're going to use these candles for Chanukah candles, then you won't be able to eat your suda by it. So that's going to defeat the purpose. The whole purpose of the Shabbos candles is to enjoy them. So you see from here that you can't be nene even Mocha Mitzvah. So the Baal HaMor would respond, that's not a riot, it's not a kasha at all. Because the kasha was working with an assumption where the candles are going to be lit. In the olden days, they lit the Shechanah candles outside. You have to light it up Pesach HaBayis in Bechutz. The Shabbos candles, you can't light outside, you have to light inside. I'm going to eat my meal outside in the street. So I'm going to eat my meal inside, and my Chanukah candles are going to be outside. So it's Yevshel Lekayim Shneim. So now you have to choose. So it's not that you couldn't, because of halachic reasons, you couldn't be nana, you couldn't eat Yisud HaShabbos by the Chanukah / Shabbos candles. It's just a practical problem, because you have to make up your mind. You're going to light it inside for Shabbos and outside for Chanukah. But conceptually, why don't we accept the Baal HaMor? Shulchan Aruch, we don't accept the Baal HaMor. Why is that? Why do most Rishonim disagree with the Baal HaMor? So the Ran says, because Neres Chanukah, the reason why you're not allowed to be nana from them is not because of Bizei Mitzvah, not because it's been embarrassing to the Mitzvah. That's not the reason. There's a much, much more significant reason, says the Ran. Since the mitzvah happened, the nair of the menorah, and the menorah is a chadavah shel hekdesh, it's a chadavah shel mikdash, asa'ua kishel hekdesh. Chazal mesakein that the menorah has a chadavah shel hekdesh on it. That a person is going to use the nair of the menorah even for tzarchi mitzvah. That doesn't matter, that's still awesome. Because that's called, it's like the ila, it's like nanim in a hekdesh. So that's the reason why. That's Taka Meduyak in the Losh of the Neres Halalu. We say Neres Halalu Kodeshein, the Eilon Rishus Mishtamish Behem. What's the connection between the two? According to the Baal HaMor, there's no Kedushas of the Neres. It's just an Isser of Bizei Mitzvah. So that Losh of the Neres Halalu seems to support the view of most of the Rishonim, the view of the Ran, that the reason why Eilon Rishus Mishtamish Behem is Nevei and emanates from the fact that it's Kedushin. So you see that Apidin, according to most of the Rishonim, there's a halachic concept that the menorah is Dumi the Mikdash. So we light the menorah in Chanukah. It's not just a mitzvah bi'alma, but it's a recreation of the nearest of the menorah. And there are halachas that emanate from that principle. So maybe that's the word that comes to me as well. That even though in other areas of mitzvahs, maybe the Shoshat was right. That maybe there's a stalemate between the Eim Avila mitzvahs and Hidu mitzvah. But in Neres Chanukah, so we opt for Hidu mitzvah. Why? Because Neres Chanukah is like Mikdash. Neres Chanukah is like Kabbalah. Just as in Yoni Mikdash, so the Din of Mivchan Idreichem teaches us that there's an additional dimension, namely the dimension of the mitzvah b'shriach, but it's part of the mitzvah proper. It's a Din Profi in the mitzvah proper, who would deny me when it comes to Neres Chanukah. So all year long, in other mitzvahs, maybe Tavah Eim Avila mitzvah is just as important as Hidu mitzvah. But in Neres Chanukah, everything is different. Neres Chanukah, everything changes, because Neres Chanukah has an aspect of Mikdash to it. So maybe that's the reason why Wolf Kleinfeld somehow intuitively figured out that Neres Chanukah, you got to go the extra mile. Nobody cuts corners on Neres Chanukah, because Neres Chanukah is more than a regular mitzvah. It's not a plain din of Hidden mitzvah. It's not a din in a chutz of Hidden mitzvah. It's a din prati. It's a din in the mitzvah itself. It's dumi to Mikdash Tikruah. So maybe that's an added dimension to why Hidden mitzvah plays such a critical role in terms of the celebration of Chanukah. So tomorrow we'll see the continuum talk with other general ways of Chanukah. We'll see.